G'day mates, and welcome to this edition of Animal World, our co-inhabitants. Today we'll make our way to the New England Brumby Sanctuary in the town of Armidale, in the state of New South Wales, Australia, to speak with members of Save the Brumbies, an animal welfare charity dedicated to protecting and ensuring a bright future for Australia's wild horses or Brumbies. Brumbies are widely known in Australia as the free-ranging characters in the poems of the Australian bush poet Banjo Paterson. They descend from horses brought from England to Australia beginning in 1788 and are thought to be named after English soldier James Brumby, who came to Australia in the 1790s. When he was transferred to the island of Tasmania, he is said to have left horses behind in New South Wales, where they eventually became wild. Another theory is that the word Brumby originates from the Australian Aboriginal word Burumbi, meaning wild. Today, Brumbies are greatest in number in the Northern Territory, Queensland, and Northern Western Australia. Save the Brumbies' mission is to see humane, controlled management of Brumbies and the abolition of shooting of wild horses in national parks and public lands Australia-wide. Jan Carter is the founder and president of Save the Brumbies. She is a former aerobics instructor and a retired professional musician. She has recorded an album entitled Run with the Wind, which was done as a tribute to the Brumbies, and has also written a children's book about horses called The Sunflower Pony.
In October 2000, there was an aerial slaughter of wild Brumbies in a local national park here, Guy Fawkes River National Park, and news got out to the public, local horsemen, and it was pretty bad. And until that stage, I don't think Australians or the wider world had understood what is actually going on behind scenes here. And so I'm a very passionate horse lover, and I thought it was pretty awful. I was very upset, and so were thousands of other Australians. So I actually took matters into my own hands at the time, and I started the animal welfare charity Save the Brumbies. And main focus in the beginning was to lobby government and to try to instigate changes and more sustainable and more humane and better plans and management. And from there, we evolved into passively trapping the horses in Guy Fawkes, bringing them out as we're doing now. And we have managed to stop aerial shooting in our state of New South Wales here. We've now rehomed well over 200 horses in caring homes, and that's what we do here at the New England Brumby Sanctuary.
What are some of the notable characteristics of Brumbies?
They're tough, they're hard, survival of the fittest, and very intelligent. And like, since I've come to work with them, and to have horses that come in have a fear for people, to a couple of days later coming up to you and then ultimately bond with you and put you as their leader, it's an amazing feeling. It's sort of gratifying. These highly sensitive ones that are timid and scared and basically petrified of you, when you eventually turns them around and then they become kids' ponies, they trust you that much that then they will allow anybody to do anything. It's an amazing feeling. They got to survive out in the bush. So all of their instincts, sight, hearing, smell, it's all basically exemplified. I mean, these horses will tell you if there's a different vehicle coming down the road before I even hear it. They can smell. The first thing they'll do is size you up by smell. They can smell, like, out in the bush if you've got a fire coming. Yeah, they've got to survive on smell. So everything is just a lot stronger. They're much more sensitive. than domestics.
We also asked Lisa Burgess, a Save the Brumbies volunteer, to describe how new horses come to the sanctuary and get acclimated to their new surroundings.
Well, generally, I've got to go out when we get the phone call that they're ready for to pick up at the parks. I've got to go out and assess them and make sure that there's no injuries on them and they're fit for travel and there's not too many to go on the one load. Then they sort of arrive here. I put them in their yards, so they're here, they settle down for a couple of days, get used to me, I feed them up if need be, just wander around them, get them used to me, then I'll do any treatments if necessary. Before I let them out, I like to let them out between 3 to 7 days, depending on how they've settled. If they're starting to come up to me to get their feed, well then I can safely put them out in the paddocks, and that would be the smaller holding paddocks here.
When Animal World Our Co-inhabitants returns, we'll learn more about the pure, natural qualities of Australia's wild horses or Brumbies. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television.
Oh my goodness, 70, and I think I'm known around here as the ancient one. I don't know that wisdom comes with that, but but I do keep fit. For many years I was an aerobics instructor, so I've always been actively very fit. It's quite simple for me. It's a good philosophy. I just don't like eating dead flesh. I prefer a herbivore diet. I do think it's a healthier way of living. My body tells me that.
Welcome back to Animal World, our co-inhabitants on Supreme Master Television, as we return to the New England Brumby Sanctuary to chat with Jan Carter and Lisa Burgess of Save the Brumbies, an animal welfare group that operates two horse sanctuaries to protect Australia's wild horses or Brumbies, and also facilitates adoption of these splendid beings through their Adopt a Brumby program. In the wild, Brumbies live in family groups called mobs, which can be as large as 40 to 70 horses. However, a mob is generally much smaller and consists of a lead male or stallion, a lead female or mare, and 5 to 15 mares and their babies or foals. Mobs are hierarchical in nature, with each horse having their own place within the group. Young males, called colts, form their own mobs.
The male is normally at the top,
no.
Or the ladies?
The lady is, everybody thinks a stallion's boss. Stallion's not boss. Stallion's down the bottom of the order. Unless he's a dominant stallion, you've got, in a mob situation, you've got your lead mare, you've got your second in command, then your third, then your fourth, fifth, depending on how many there are in the situation, and then you've got the stallion at the bottom. With a bachelor group of colts as well, you'll get that same order of things. You got the leader, and you got the second, third, fourth. It works. It's just a natural thing. The stallion is basically there to protect. If any danger's out there, he'll protect them, and he'll be chasing them away or defending them.
Mares give birth to their foals generally in the springtime. Brumbies are a wide range of colours, including bay or a reddish-brown body colour with a black mane, tail, ear edges and lower legs. They are generally 13 to 15 hands high or 130 to 150 centimetres tall.
Can you tell us about these horses just behind you?
Two we're looking at here at the moment, probably came in about 8 weeks ago. They've been gelded. Well, actually, they came in just before Christmas. One, the bay, is a four-year-old gelding now, come in as a colt. He came in as a bachelor colt on his own. So he was a bit sort of bit older and and this little boy, little chestnut one's a little yearling. He came in with a mob of youngsters over there, the mare and a little stallion. Dad's over there. He's only going to grow maximum 13 hands. They've settled now, ready to be rehomed. Somebody to have a look at them and fall in love. Actually, Dorado, he's more than likely been placed. Someone's coming up this afternoon to have a look at him.
Are they a very affectionate species?
Oh, yes, when they bond with you, they're highly intelligent. My own Brumby, Adam, he's, say, the Brumby's mascot, a very, very sharp horse.
Brumbies have excellent memories, and Miss Burgess has witnessed this trait in these horses firsthand.
I went and saw a horse. I'd only handled him once. When he first came in, I hadn't seen him in 3 years.
Wow.
He knew me straight away. I just did the first handling, and yeah, it was just straight away, basically, he remembered.
Why is it so important for you to be a part of this, to do what you do, working with these Brumbies and saving them and giving them homes?
Well, for me, I mean, I'm a horse lover. I think for us it's all voluntary, and it is for both Lisa and myself. It's I think, a lifetime passion. I think my best memory is feeding an orphan foal late at night, seeing the moon and the stars. They are beautiful moments. And I think to see a horse come from the wild, know that we have rescued the horse from a bullet and from an untimely and cruel death, and to see that horse rehabilitated, homed with a caring family, and to have emails and photographs sent back, people are so proud of them. I think that's its reward. Lisa?
You're doing it basically out of love.
Yeah, out of love, well, it is.
For me, like, they deserve every chance they can get. They're a good animal, and they certainly deserve our respect.
We thank Jan Carter and Lisa Burgess for sharing their love and passion for the wild horses of Australia with us, and for opening our eyes to these wonderful beings. May God continue to bless them in their work. Please join us again tomorrow on Animal World, Our Co-inhabitants, for part two of our program on Save the Brumbies. For more details on Save the Brumbies, please visit www.savethebrumbies.org. Jan Carter's Run with the Wind CD is available at the same website. Friendly viewers, thank you for your company today on our show. Coming up next is enlightening entertainment after noteworthy news. May the love of heaven always shine upon us all.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/aw.